Well, I'm excited to get to the Bible today with you. And so if you have a Bible, find the book of Galatians, and we're going to be in chapter number 5. Today, we are starting a brand new series, three-part message series that we are calling Spirit Lead Me. Spirit Lead Me. And the basis for this series is quite simple. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us and help us and wants to be involved in our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to use you to do supernatural things, to speak to people, to help people, to grow and different things and all of that. The Holy Spirit is like asking to be our partners and to do things and be a bigger part of your life. But the average Christian, the average follower of Christ just does not understand how to listen to and respond to the Holy Spirit in their life. And we just sort of survive as Christians. And it's just not how it's supposed to work. And I fully understand, as soon as we start talking about the Holy Spirit, all sorts of things go through people's minds. But just understand this, the Holy Spirit isn't weird. And I'm just telling you, those weird Holy Spirit people that you think about, those people are weird even without the Holy Spirit. Come on. Like the Holy Spirit is not weird. In fact, I read a medical report this week that said that 1 out of 3 people are weird. And so I want you to quickly now just look to the person on your left. And now look to the person on your right. And if neither of them are weird, let's move on. But understand, the Holy Spirit is God. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and the easiest way to understand God the Holy Spirit is just to say that the Holy Spirit is the presence of God that lives in the lives of the believers. The very presence of God that lives inside of you. And if you have responded to the message of Jesus, if you have said yes to that, then the Holy Spirit lives inside, dwells inside of you. And that doesn't have to be confusing. We have made that confusing. But the Holy Spirit is this beautiful, incredible, helpful, challenging, and awesome thing all at the same time. But he doesn't have to be weird. And way too many people are confused, and way too many people are even afraid of this conversation about God, the Holy Spirit. And next week, I'm excited about next week. I've already started like writing that message, and things have just come together in a beautiful way. But next week, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus here in our world, to lead us to speak to people and to minister to the people around us. And the Holy Spirit wants to help us with that. And we're going to look at that, and we're going to see that, and we're going to learn how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit throughout our day and watch as God uses us to bring hope and life to a world that is just super broken and desperately needs that. That's next week. Today, we're going to see that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us to become more and more like Jesus. And this is what we're going to see. And so enough of that. Let's get to the Bible. I want to ask you to stand with me all over this place. And let's read together from the Bible, Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse number 16. And we're going to read a nice little chunk here. And so just follow along here. We have all sorts of words and things about the Holy Spirit is what we're going to read. So here's what it says. Galatians 5 verse 16 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Let's pray. God, we just pause for a moment to welcome you into this moment right here, right now. And I pray that you would work inside of us. I pray that you would speak to us. I pray that even through your very word, we would be challenged and changed and moved. And God, that you would do your thing. And so we lean in to you and just with expectation of what you will do and what you can do. And so God, we give this to you in your name, we pray. Amen, amen. All right, give somebody a high five and have a seat. All right, here we go. You ready? I want to start with two big theology words. Theology words. That's the study of the things of God is the word theology. And the words are justification and the word sanctification. Let me explain these to you very quick. They're words we typically don't use in our everyday English lives, but that's okay. They're quite important to our faith and understanding this stuff. And so let me define these for you. Write these down if you're taking notes. Justification, go ahead and put that slide up here. Justification is this word. It simply means it's this one-time event where God declares that someone is determined to be righteous, or we could say the word perfect, in his sight. Okay, let me flesh this out a little bit for us. In the church world, we would refer to this as the moment of salvation. It's when we respond to the message of Jesus, we say yes to that, and by faith we receive the grace that God has for us. In that moment, God declares us to be righteous, to be perfect, to be innocent. And we are declared perfect because Jesus is perfect. And we, in a way, are united with Christ. And his perfection kind of influences us. And God now, when he looks at us, he declares that we are now innocent or perfect or righteous in that way. Okay? And we don't do this ourselves. We don't work ourselves into this. We don't perform ourselves into it. It's something that God declares, that we are now right, that we are now perfect in his sight. Even though we're messy people filled with sin and all this type of stuff, God looks and he declares us perfect, okay? And this is a one-time event. It's a moment. This is salvation by faith through grace, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9. But the fancy theology word for this is the word justification. Got it? Maybe. All right, that's all right. The second word is the word sanctification. Sanctification, and that word is just defined as this, the continual process through the work of the Holy Spirit of becoming more and more like Christ, or we could even say more righteous or more perfect. So justification is this moment where we are declared righteous, but sanctification then is this process where from that point on, we are becoming more and more like Christ. We are changing through the work of the Holy Spirit, maturing and growing and changing spiritually. And sanctification in the life of a Christian never ends. It is a lifetime thing. And as people, we will never truly and fully reach perfection. You will never be perfect. You will never not sin at different points. It is not possible, but we are moving in that direction every day, every year, becoming more and more like Christ. Those are the theology words, and it's beautiful stuff to study and to think about. But the problem with this entire thing and the problem with this conversation is that the American church as a whole has separated these two words more than we should. Let me explain. We love justification. We talk about that and we push that. Get saved, we even say in the church. Be made right with God. You need to receive God's gift of salvation so you can go to heaven when you die. And that's great. And we should talk about that. Don't miss that part. Every person in this room needs to, at some point in your life, make a decision for yourself. You are not saved. That's the word of the Bible. You're not saved by going to church and getting baptized and doing churchy things. You are saved by saying yes to this beautiful thing that God has done through Jesus Christ, and you are saved by faith, okay? And you receive grace in that. You cannot earn your way. And that is important, and it's a beautiful gift of God. And come on, we celebrate that. But understand this. Scripturally, the assumption is that both of these will be foundational to the life of the believer. Both of these. You don't receive salvation, and then that's just where things stop in our relationship. In fact, write this down. In the Bible, justification always leads to sanctification. You don't just get saved and then continue to live your life the way that you did before. There is a process where you are now moving in the direction of becoming like Jesus. It's always a part. It's never separated in the Bible. You cannot have the first one without the second one following along. And in the American church, like, we are just filled with people who have said yes to Jesus because they want to go to heaven, but there is no process that follows that of them becoming more mature in their spiritual life. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I don't mean to hit you over the head with the like today and be harsh and be like, okay, but for some of us, this should be a wake-up call. And we're going to see Paul say in a moment, like, these types of people will not inherit the kingdom of God. There has to be change. If there is no life change, then the scripture would doubt whether the first one ever happened. All right, there we go. We're having fun. But justification always leads to sanctification, or we could say in the Bible, being declared righteous always leads to a life that is becoming more like Jesus. Always. And so a moment ago, we read this passage of scripture, Galatians chapter 5. It's this beautiful letter that was written by this man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, and he writes this letter to these people in this city called Galatia. And these people were transformed by the message of Jesus. They had heard it for the very first time. Like, this was a Greek Roman culture with Greek Roman gods. And Paul goes there with his and he tells them about Jesus. And there's this group of people that like respond, and it's this beautiful thing. But then Paul leaves and he goes to another place to do the same thing. And these people kind of have some issues. And so Paul hears about this and he writes them this letter. And this is what we have right here. And it's in this section of scripture right here, Paul contrasts what he calls the flesh and what he calls the spirit. And so let's look at this here. Let's read it again. So he says, So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And so when he writes the word Spirit, he's talking about God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the very presence of God that is living inside of these people, and the very presence of God that is living inside of you. The Holy Spirit living inside of you. Those who have been justified by faith, justification, they have the Holy Spirit inside of them. You have that inside of you. And the Holy Spirit wants to make us more and more like Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to sanctify us. That's that process that we talked about. But we also, we have what Paul refers to as the flesh. Let's define that quickly. The flesh is this earthly pull. It's in all of us. It's in you all the time. And it's pulling us towards that which is not right. Pulling us towards, you could use the Bible word sin. It's pulling us in that direction. Pulling us toward things that are not of God. It's self. Like the selfish nature inside of us that pulls us to things that we know we should not do. To selfishly live for earthly pleasures is what we could say. Even though we know that that stuff is temporary and toxic many times. And Paul is saying that there is this tension in us as believers all the time. There is a tension. Because God the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, and yet we still have this pull from the world and this pull from our selfish nature towards, so we have this conflict that is, it's like we could have a tug of war here, and it's like we're one way is pulling us this way and one way is pulling us in that way. There is a conflict that is happening, or you could say there's a battle that is happening on the inside. And we have funny things, you know, with cartoons, and you have the little devil and the angel on people's shoulders, and okay, they whisper in each other's ears. But that really, in a way, that's happening. Where you are being pulled in both directions in that way. And then Paul begins to list off what he calls the acts of the flesh. And he kind of makes this clear. This is verse 19. The acts of the flesh are obvious. He says sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. I want to quickly go through this list and just kind of talk this out. We won't spend a lot of time on this. But he starts with sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Okay, this is sexual stuff. And this was an issue in the time of Jesus. It was an issue at the time of Paul. It's an issue in our culture massively all over the place. This would include things like adultery. It would include things like having sex even before you're married. It would include things like homosexual stuff, pornography. Okay, you get the idea here. It is the pursuit of sexual pleasure in any way outside of the marriage relationship between a man and a woman. Like, that's a Bible definition. The pursuit of sexual pleasure in any way outside of the marriage relationship between a man and a woman. And Paul says your flesh is pulling you towards that stuff, but it's just not. It's not very much like Jesus. It's not at all like Jesus. And then Paul writes idolatry and witchcraft. And I would just explain that this way. It's anything spiritual that is outside of and not centered around Jesus. Anything spiritual. And we have obvious things like Ouija boards and tarot cards and things like that. But this is also in our culture. You hear people talk about crystals. And if you hear people using the word energies and things like this, we have spiritualists who are communicating with people who are dead, and they'll tell you your fortune. And I've dealt with people in our church with some of this type of stuff, okay? And this gets complicated, but just understand there are all sorts of spiritual things that we can get involved in that are outside of Jesus. And Paul here just calls this idolatry and witchcraft, but what we're saying here is spiritual things outside of Jesus, like, are not okay. It's not okay. Stay away from it. Your flesh will pull you into this type of stuff, but it's not very much like Jesus. Paul continues, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. You get the idea. It's how we treat people, how we think about people, anger and jealousy and yelling and out of control behavior, that type of stuff. And then he writes selfish ambitions and dissensions and factions. And a lot of this has to do with specifically the body of Christ and splitting the body of Christ. Selfishness and following unbiblical teachings and causing, like, separating people and different things like this. And then Paul finally adds drunkenness and orgies. And understand this, the Bible never says that drinking alcohol is a sin, but it sure calls out getting drunk. Like, it's black and white. And in that way, becoming impaired in any way is not Christ-like, and it's not okay, it's wrong. It's destructive. And you may think that it doesn't impact anybody, but, like, I'm just telling you, you're deceived. And as a pastor, we deal with all sorts of junk that has to do with alcohol. And for me and my family, alcohol, we don't touch it. Because we, okay? And that's going a little even farther than the Bible even would point to, but it's for a good reason in our lives, as we see how destructive that have been. And orgies, which is actually just translated as, like, wild parties, intoxication, sexual stuff, all kind of entered, okay, you get it. The acts of the flesh are always temporary pleasures that leave us broken and wanting, always. And don't misunderstand this. This isn't become a Christian and never have fun again. Okay? We hear people talk like that and like, no. I'm telling you, there is just so much beauty and fulfillment in the way of God. And it's God's desire that we live purposeful and alive, not stuck in momentary pleasures. And so, like, just understand, God has laid out this beautiful way for people to live. And when we start going outside of that, we begin to see destruction and chaos and all sorts of things fall apart. And God has laid out this beautiful, loving, incredible way for us to live. But the flesh and the inside, and that is pulling us all the time towards that which is not good. Verse number 22, he goes on and he switches. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit, famous passage of scripture, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, such good. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit and not be conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Like, listen to me. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And there's a battle, a war that is waging, being pulled in each direction in that way. But the Holy Spirit wants to make you and make me more and more like Jesus all the time, wants to fill your life with love and life and peace and gentleness and self-control. But so often we fight the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We fight it. And the Bible warns us about this. Let me quickly show you this. Acts chapter 7, 51 says, you stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. Very Jewish thing to say. And you are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You resist the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. See, understand, the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. It lives inside of those who have been justified and declared righteous by God. But it is 100% possible for you, even though that has happened, to resist the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. To quench it, to grieve it in that way. See, the Holy Spirit does not force himself on you. Doesn't make you do anything or say anything. He is there inside as this beautiful guide and pulling us in the right direction, but it is absolutely possible for us to, like, stomp that out and not make it happen. And so he's waiting and he's pulling and he's wanting to help us move forward, but so often we do not let him. So very quick, for a few minutes, I just want to answer the question, how do we better allow the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ? How do we do that? Three things, write these down if you're taking notes. Number one, we need to release control. Release control. Raise your hand if you're a control freak. Okay, raise your hand if you're married to a control freak. Don't do that. Come on. Man, but we love to be in control, don't we? We love that. And so here's what I mean by release control. There has to be a point in your life where you just come to the decision that my way is not better. That my way is not. And we've given ourselves into this false belief that our way is better and we understand what we need and who and all of that. I'm just telling you that it's not until you release control and you begin to say, God, I believe your way is better. I believe that you truly begin to see the Holy Spirit work in your life. And it's kind of like giving the Holy Spirit permission to move and to work and to do his thing in your life. But understand, this isn't something that you just do once and then you're good for all eternity. This is a daily thing where every single day you wake up and you say, God, you get control of my life today. You get control. And I'm telling you this, so many of the problems that we are facing in life right now have to do with the fact that we are fighting with God over who has control. and we take the reins of our lives and we aren't willing to hand them over. But write this down, surrender is a daily choice to let God lead. And I can't tell you how important this is to begin to just wake up in the morning and just like, this doesn't have to be 2 hours on your face before God, okay? This can be a moment where you pause and you say, God, I give you control today. I give you control today. It's not just surrendering to God in a church service or some spiritual high moment in your life, but every day saying, Holy Spirit, lead my life. That's beautiful. Somebody, at least one of you should have said yes, amen to that, but nobody did. We want the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ. The first thing we need to do is to release control and daily surrender to his work. Okay, Number two, then we begin to pray this prayer. We pray, God, search me. A few years ago, we did a study in the church-wide thing that we called Dangerous Prayers. It was powerful, powerful thing that we went through as a church. And in that, we used Psalm 139, which just says this. It says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is a prayer of David, a prayer that David prayed. He prayed, God, search my heart. See if there is anything nasty, offensive inside of me. Lead me out of that, you know, is what he's saying. And so we daily surrender and we say, Holy Spirit, lead me. And then we begin to pray and we say, Holy Spirit, show me the junk that I'm missing. Show me the things, the places. Show me the places where I'm not very much like Jesus. And as we begin to ask for that, we become now more and more aware of the places in us that we are not okay. And the Holy Spirit will begin to show you the things inside of you where you are not okay. See, we all have blind spots in our lives. And all the new cars and things, they have cameras all over the place. And so there's not many blind spots anymore. But some of us grew up driving cars that didn't have any of that. And some of us still have cars that don't have any of that, okay? And when you drive a car, you have blind spots. You're looking and you want to change lanes and you're like, I don't know if they're there or not. You know what I'm talking about for those who grew up in that. And there's spots where you can't see perfectly. You have that in your life. You have junk in your life that you don't see. And the funny thing is some of the people around you see it, but you don't. You have things inside of you, things that come out of you. And you don't see it. You have blind spots in your life. And we have these things, and they're not good. Things that are not godly. Things that are toxic in our souls and in our hearts. But I'm telling you, when we begin to humbly ask the Holy Spirit to show us this stuff, and we begin to realize, we begin to see things in us that we're like, I did not know that that was there. And we find ourselves saying, wow, I can't believe I think those thoughts. They're not very much like Jesus. And we say, wow, I can't believe I talked like that to that person. And I was really short with my wife for no reason. And the language that's coming out of my mouth here is not okay. And God, the Holy Spirit, begins to show us different things. But that comes as we release control and we begin to ask God to search our hearts. That's good stuff. Do that. And I would say very, very few of us in this room are praying that prayer. God, show me the stuff. Holy Spirit, show me the stuff. And then number three, I was just going to write, don't be stupid, but I decided to write, be wise. And I put, don't be stupid in parentheses. Okay, so let me unpack this here really quick. Ephesians chapter 5 says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. And so here's where I want to take this one. Understand the Holy Spirit leads the sanctification process in our lives. The process of us becoming more like Christ over time that is led by the Holy Spirit. This is not just willpower. It's not just self-help making my life better. There is a supernatural piece to this. It's the Holy Spirit moving and changing us and all of that. But there is no question that we have a part to play. We have a part to play in what we'll call the sanctification process. Justification, being declared righteous by God, there is nothing you can do. It is simply saying yes, and now God does it all. But sanctification, it's this partnership between us and the Holy Spirit. And we purposely give the Holy Spirit control, and we ask him to search our hearts to show us the junk we can't see, but it's up to us then to respond, and to respond with wisdom. Let me give you an example of this. Last week we had my friend Joe was here, and he spoke, and he told his story, and it was so unbelievable, and people loved it, and it was incredible to see what God had done in his life. But Joe shared briefly on Sunday morning about his alcohol stuff and his journey to sobriety. It was brief last week. If you read his book, and if you read his book, he goes into great detail about what it looked like for him to actually get sober. And he talks about waking up every day and very clearly just saying, God, I need your help. Holy Spirit, help me today. Let me live today for your glory and help me with, okay? But then he would strategically take the long way everywhere that he drove to avoid even driving past a liquor store. At this point in his life, when alcohol had train wrecked everything about him and now he was attempting to get sober, okay, he began to drive the long way so he didn't even drive past a liquor store. And he understood that living alone during the season was not going to be helpful, so he moved in with people who would help keep him accountable. And he writes how he had this military weekend. He was in the military. He had to go away every weekend or every once a month to these things. And he had to go to this, but he knew that this would be a difficult weekend as he would be tempted to drink with all the guys. It was like what he did. So before that weekend, he begins to ask everybody he knows to pray for him for this. And he puts this list together of people who are praying, and he tells everybody, I got this weekend and I don't want to blow this up. And he begins to tell everybody around him, and he recruits people to lift him up in prayer. But you know what would be foolish? For Joe to just say, Holy Spirit, change me, and then to go hang out in the bar. We call that stupid. Don't we? Like that's not using wisdom. That is not using common sense at all. And so we begin to use wisdom. We aren't stupid. We purposely avoid situations and we avoid places and we even avoid certain people as we are attempting to change and become more and more like Christ. We must be careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise. Wisdom rearranges your life around becoming more like Christ and avoiding the things that are going to make that more difficult. Music team, will you please come? All right, let's just like package this all in a real neat bow and then we'll go home. But just understand, you are meant to become more like Christ. And you should look back, you should be able to look back at your life a year ago and you should be able to say, I am not there anymore. I am now here. I have moved forward. You should be able to look at your life a decade ago. And I'm just telling you, if you are still in the same place, doing the same stuff, dealing with the same junk, something's wrong here. We should be moving forward in our relationship with Jesus all the time. We should be becoming more like him. The things that used to define you should begin to be falling to the left and to the right as we become more and more like Christ. And it never ends. I'm amazed, even still today for me, as I go through my week and God, the Holy Spirit, begins to call me out on some things. And I say, wow, I've been doing this a long time and I've never noticed that. And here I am. God making that so plain to me, and it happens over and over and over again. You were meant to become more like Christ. How do you do that? We begin to pray and say, God, I give you control. God, I want today to be about you. Holy Spirit, I give you. And then you begin to say, Holy Spirit, show me the junk. Search my heart. Search my heart for the things inside of me that are not okay. Show me the things that I am doing. Show me the attitudes that are not very much like Jesus and the words that I'm saying and the places where I'm failing. And we begin to pray that, and we begin to become more and more aware of the stuff. And then it's up to us, with the Holy Spirit's help, to not be stupid, to begin to work, to begin to do our part, and begin to put ourselves in the right places and surround ourselves with the right people and do the right things that are going to move us forward in our relationship with God. This is massively important. Don't stay the same. Will you stand with me all over this place? Some of us in this place, you've been dealing with junk a long time, the same stuff. You got things inside of you. Some of it maybe is even secrets. Some of it is maybe even things that you're ashamed of, that you've never told anybody. I'm just here to tell you, we can't continue to live in that stuff anymore. It's time to move forward. Whatever that takes, whatever we need to do, coming clean with someone you love, getting the help that you need, putting yourself in the right places at the right time so that you can begin to see and experience the freedom of God in your life. God, I pray right now that you would help us, that you would challenge us and change us and move us. And God, that we would take steps in your direction, that we'd respond as you show us the stuff. God, in fact, I pray that even in this moment, you would put in our minds right now some of the blind spots that we have, some of the things that we're not seeing, some of the attitudes and the actions and the words that are just not very much like you, Jesus. Show us that stuff. Speak to us on that. Truly, we open our hearts to you, Holy Spirit, to lead us, to change us. In your name, we pray. Some of us in this place, like you have never truly experienced that first piece of this whole thing, that big word, justification. I'm just telling you, there is a moment. Sanctification, that's process. Justification is a moment where God declares you perfect in his sight, even though you are a sinner, even though you have lived and done and been and all that stuff. There's a moment where we say yes to Jesus. And we look at what he has done for us, and we realize there's nothing we could do to make ourselves right with God and to receive his grace. You can't earn that or work your way into any of that. But there's this beautiful moment where we just say yes. And God in that moment looks down and declares us right before him, even though we don't deserve it. And with no one looking around, just a moment of privacy and reflection, maybe you're here today, and this is your moment. And I'm not asking you if you've been to church before or if you've been baptized or went through confirmation class or any of that type of stuff. Have you ever had that moment where you truly just said yes for yourself, where you said yes to God? And if you're here today and you would say, I've never truly had that moment, I've never done that, and I want to do that today, with no one looking around, just quickly show me your hand. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else that would say, today is my moment, this is my time right here, right now? And if you're watching behind a screen right now, you can respond in this way as well. You can lift your hand in your living room right now or whatever and just respond in that way. Anybody else? Just a moment longer. And let's just pray together, everyone in this place, to help the couple people that raised their hand. Pray this. Pray, Father God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. Forgive me of my sins and change my life. In your name I pray. Come on, will you put your hands together and let's just celebrate what God has done, what God is doing. All right. So now today we have heard from God. We have heard from the Bible. We know what to do, but nobody does this for you. You walk out the door today and you begin to wake up every morning saying, today is about you, God. Okay? And we begin to pray and say, God, show me. And we now become more and more like Christ with his help, with the help of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful stuff. God, I pray that as we walk out these doors, you would work and continue what you have even started in this moment for some of us. We give you our hearts, we give you our lives, and just pray, change us, help us, God, move us. And so we truly do love you, and it's in the beautiful name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen.